At Raising Cane's, we hand batter every chicken finger, mix every cane sauce, butter every Texas toast, stir every slaw, and salt every fry. Because when you do it right, you can taste it in every bite. Raising Cane's chicken fingers, one love.
Assistant coach, Bill Bush.
Hey, somebody grab me a mocha quick, would you?
This is Early Break.
Welcome back to Hour 3 on a Tuesday. Steve Sipple, Jake Sorens with you. Bill Bush out today. Be back, I believe, tomorrow or Thursday. Hour 3 is sponsored by our friends at NEBCO.
The Co.
Now hiring at Ready Mix Concrete. Apply today at NEBCOinc.com. Also, shout out to Anderson Ford at 27th and I-80 and 33rd. And Yankee Hill, it is truly, truly a great day to test drive a vehicle in either location.
I wonder David, Mike Anderson,
Nate Fredericks,
what they would do today if Felix Rosenquist walked through the doors. Do you know that name?
You told me that's the guy that won the Indy 500.
Felix Rosenquist. I believe he's 34 years old.
He's a Swede, correct?
He's a Swede.
From my country. My long-lost cousin, Felix.
He won the closest Indy 500 in history by 5 feet.
Win is a win.
How about that?
It's a good stat there, Sip. Thank you.
Yes. Carl Felix Helmer Rosenquist is a professional racing driver who drives the number 60 Honda for Meyer Shank Racing. And he won.
Thank you.
Did you watch any of it?
No. No, I did not.
Missing two.
I haven't watched a race for, I don't know, I'm 35, 27 years.
Yeah, I watched it a few
years ago.
It was
8 when I was watching my last race.
Missing Tooth Greg paints a picture of a captivating Indy 500 with a lot of lead changes and, of course, an incredible finish.
I have been to races, like I've been to Eagle Raceway several times. I've watched them in like those races, but I have not watched a NASCAR race since I was probably 8.
Anyway, go to...
Well, before we get to this NBA
Anderson
thing,
Ford and yeah, buy and a car.
Test drive a vehicle down there.
Yeah, buy
or,
one.
Or up.
Just buy one.
Yes, true.
Buy one.
Test drive and buy.
Yeah.
Before we get to this audio from Kenny Atkinson, the Cavs head coach,
I did
want to play this. We should have played this earlier in the show, but Will Bolt was on ESPN yesterday.
Yes, he was.
Talking about what it meant to host a regional for Nebraska. Here is Will Bolt with ESPN yesterday.
Last night, what was your reaction?
Yeah, obviously elation, emotion, just a lot of awesome feelings coming in there when you see your name on there. We felt like we had done enough to be a host, but you just never know. But I felt like we left no doubt with how we performed over the course of the year, and we challenged ourselves in the non-conference and, had an outstanding year. So just elation, a lot of emotion, honestly, having played here and been through it as a player and hosting a regional, the first year of the ballpark and knowing that it's been a long time since we've done it, and just obviously really excited to have our home crowd here behind us.
That's Coach Bolt during the selection show on ESPN.
Coach
yesterday.
Bolt, something I didn't know yesterday watching that selection show. I don't know. You might have known this. I didn't know it. I knew he caught the final out in 2001 in I'm going to call it the Super Regional at Buck Belzer to send Nebraska to its first CWS. He caught the final out. I thought he was a second baseman. He was playing shortstop. He was playing shortstop in 01. Now, he eventually moved to second. I think, Will, as a listener, I'd appreciate a text.
Confirm or deny this, Will.
Or somebody.
Coach Bolt, are you out there?
He was playing shortstop when he caught that final out in 2001. I always thought of Will, I always remembered him as a second baseman. Will was an excellent middle infielder on the Dave Van Horn teams. The reason I thought Will should be hired as Nebraska's coach is because he reminded me of Dave Van Horn. I thought his teams would be gritty like that. And this team is
his
that.
His team is really gritty.
This team is...
extremely gritty.
Yes, it's extremely resilient, and that's its foremost quality.
Absolutely.
It's a deep lineup. They hit well 1-9. Pitching's been pretty good of the front end rotation. And then... but they just are hard to put away. And that they're... Jake, I know...
That's why the Oregon game's impressive. Oregon put them away. That does not happen very often. That does not happen very often to this team.
No, Oregon, you're right. That starting pitching, Samford, was a bear. Then they brought in
the second guy.
Oh, the second guy. You see that stuff? He was dirty. He was dirty.
How do you hit any of his stuff?
He was dirty.
His ERA was like a 1.7. I'm surprised it's even that high.
He's a
like,
problem.
That guy is incredible.
Now, Oregon brought it. You just tip your cap to them. But Nebraska moves on quickly now and hosts its first regional since 2008. And so here we go. Yeah, Will was on. That was great that they had Will on that show.
Yes.
You know, there's a lot of national, and Will did a great job on that interview. He did
a great job. Now, speaking of someone who did not do a great job with media, the Cleveland Cavaliers just got swept last night.
Wow.
They lose by 37 points at home.
On their home court.
130-93.
To the Knicks,
who have won 11 straight games. They're on to the finals to play either the Spurs or the Thunder. Kenny Atkinson is the head coach of the Cavs, who, as we said, great season. They made it all the way to the finals, but not a good showing.
Eastern Conference Finals.
Made it to the Eastern Conference Finals. Now, he was talking with media, I believe, after Game 3 here. This one was here.
Yes, it's after Game 3. This is Kenny Atkinson after Game 3.
And... you are the king of hating moral victories. You say it's either a win or a loss. I don't care about blowouts. I don't care about close losses. It's a win or a loss.
Now, what's happened is my thinking in that regard has evolved over the years, much because of this program over here. And this is not a rule thing. This predates rule. But the whole notion of, oh, they're close. And this, we're close. That phrase, I don't want to hear from any coach. This is not just in Nebraska. I get tired of the, you know, we're almost there. We're close. That means nothing. It means absolutely nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And in most contexts, it means nothing. Analytics, I don't hate analytics. Data points are important, but I'm always very skeptical of analytics.
Especially when you say that you've won games that you've actually lost. By analytics terms.
Yeah.
Kenny Atkinson with media after the Cavs fell to down 3-0. They lost the game yesterday. This is before that. That he feels like they had actually won 23 straight games. Here's Kenny Atkinson explaining how that works.
Analytically, I think we've won the expected. I said 3 out of 3. We're 2 out of 3 in the expected. I don't know if you guys follow that. Is that an expected score? You know, and we won 2 out of 3. And I know you're looking confused, but I...
No, I'm not.
There is really, you know, if you believe in process and all that, like, man, take that later. I don't throw that on them. I see it for myself. We have this feeling, I have this feeling, then I can go to our analytical table and be like, man, we are, you know, last night it was, the expected score was like 1.02. Us shooting way below expected, them shooting way over. I know no one wants to hear that. I think you guys like hearing it. I know, you know, general public, no one wants to hear that. Everyone's outcome-based. And, you know, sure, I get that too.
That was very hard to hear with all the basketball going on, but he was saying that the expected score was in favor of the Cavs in Game 3. They, of course, did not win Game 3, Sip.
I just think a coach has to – this is what his commentary means to me is should be a red flag for coaches everywhere not to go down this road. Where he says, I think analytically
– Hey, guys, Jake Sorensen. You've got weight loss goals, but hitting them is another story. Enter Weight Loss by Hims. It's designed to support you in losing the weight and keeping it off. And Hims now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. Through Hims, everything happens online. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door, no insurance necessary, and it doesn't stop there. Hims makes hitting your goals seamless by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and an in-app lifestyle and nutrition support like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Ready to reach your goals? Visit Hims.com/earlybreak to get a personalized, affordable plan that gets you. That's Hims.com/earlybreak. Hims.com/earlybreak. Weight loss by Hims is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit Hims.com. You're listening to this podcast, so I know you've got a curious mind. Here's a helpful fact you might not know yet. Drivers who switch and save with Progressive save over $900 on average. Pop over to Progressive.com, answer some questions, and you'll get a quick quote with discounts that are easy to come by. In fact, 99% of their auto customers earn at least one discount. Visit Progressive.com and see if you can enjoy a little cash back. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $946 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2024 and May 2025. Potential savings will vary.
I think analytically, we've won 2 of 3. Now, they were down
3-0. Why would you say that?
Because here's why. There's a couple reasons, probably.
Well,
He knows his team's going to hear this through the medium. He's trying to find something that would give them some confidence at being down 3-0. Down 3-0 in the NBA playoffs means what? You're done. It's 0-163.
Yep.
Our team's down 3-0 in terms of series. 0-163. So he's probably just trying to find something to get that gives them confidence. I don't think he would address them directly with this stuff, but he knows what he says in the media will be heard or read. That'd be one reason. The other reason is he might just be losing his mind. I mean, literally,
I'm going with option two.
In the moment, he might be losing it a little bit. They're down 3-0 to the Knicks. They blew a 22-point lead in game one. He's got some degree of pressure on him. He knows he's probably lost his team, which we now can say is true because they lost by 37 points on their home floor. He probably sensed we're in big trouble. I'm pulling out all the stops. I'm going to the analytics and saying, God dang, if you look at expected score, we've won 2 games. It strikes me as a guy who loses his mind a little bit. Atkinson's an interesting coach. I've watched him. I watched him sneer at who's Lou Dort.
I saw him play at college, Arizona State.
Yeah, live. I saw that game, Oklahoma City, Cleveland down there when we went to Oklahoma City. And I've never seen a coach sneer at a player opposing coach sneer at an opposing player. Oh, yeah. I thought he was going to fight Dort. So I've always been sort of, from that moment on, I've been kind of interested in Atkinson. The thing that bothers me about it, it doesn't bother me that much, the analytics part. It's the part where he kind of brushes off everyone is outcome based. I get that. That is a fan I don't want to hear.
Why would you utter those words? And why would you try to explain?
Because coaches are often process oriented. They talk about the process. When I hear that, I hate it because it always sounds to me, my cynical mind of, I just want another year. I just need another year. Let's let this process. Hey, don't worry about the outcomes. The process is what matters.
Okay, here's the real issue. Stop right there. I can live with the process a couple of times. When you are a team that's clearly rebuilding and clearly.
Yeah, even then, I don't like it. But go ahead.
That's the only time. When you're clearly either tanking or rebuilding. When you are in the Eastern Conference Finals, all that matters is results.
Yeah.
I don't care if you were close or if you were supposed to win by analytics. Did you win or did you lose? Do you have a chance to play for everything in the NBA Finals or did you become, you know, the first loser, basically?
Mm-hmm.
That's a pathetic thing to say.
It is.
The process only can be said, and it's just still a terrible thing to say, if you are a bad team, you know you're bad, and you're going through a rebuilding season. That's it. And it still sucks at that point to say that.
Yeah, I don't like it when a coach brushes off, oh, it's, you know, I know a lot of people are outcome-based. Yeah, we are outcome-based. Because what the hell else matters?
Wins and
I don't
losses.
Care about your process. Now, there's coaches who want to slug us, me in particular. Slug, like physically harm us for saying that. Because there is a process that has to be followed. I get it. But I don't want to hear about it. Outcomes are what matters.
If Matt Rhule...
Wow, I feel that... I know I'm saying what I mean.
Now, I know that Rule has a couple times like mentioned that stats in Nebraska's favor, but he doesn't use it as an excuse for why they lost the game.
No, Rule's not really an excuse maker.
No, but if he went to the podium and said what Atkinson said, saying that analytically we've won, we won the game.
Don't.
This state would lose its mind, and he won't say
he
that.
Won't
he shouldn't
do that.
Say. He's not going to say that, but because it's a crazy thing to say.
Yeah.
This is a major cope by Kenny Atkinson.
Yeah, it is. It is. I mean, I think he probably at that moment down 3-0. Now we have some evidence on our side because they played game four and they lost by 37. He's smart. He's intelligent. I bet he sensed he lost his. They just lost this team.
If we had to give him. Now, Kenny Atkinson has plenty of media training. He's talked every game.
Yeah, he's a 50 something.
But if I had to give him some training, I'd say, listen, man, you just give the Knicks some credit here. Say they've played a great series. We've been close a couple times. We're going to keep fighting. Like simple stuff like that. Not we've won 2 of 3
if you
games
look at the analytics.
By analytics. Yeah. That's a joke.
It is. I'm sure if he sat here, and we have to consider that notion that if he was sitting in this chair between us, that he would probably have a pretty convincing spiel about why what he said made sense. And he would also understand where we're coming from. But yeah, it raised eyebrows. Now, the thing about analytics and with stats in general is the reason I'm always skeptical of them is because this is a classic example of that. You can twist stats in ways to make whatever your point valid. That's why I'm not stat oriented. I've always been skeptical of sports writers who pin their whole careers on being stat oriented. I just don't. For one thing, they're kind of boring, right? In my opinion. And you can twist them like this is Atkinson twisting analytics into something that's probably true, but why does it matter?
Yep.
You know, you're down 3-0. You didn't win two games. Now, if it helps you exist in a troublesome spot, if it helps you weather that storm in your mind, then I guess there's some value in that. You know, if it provides the psychological buffer from reality, which is you're down 3-0, you're soup,
yep.
You're done, and you've lost your team. If it provides some psychological distance from the harsh reality, maybe there's some value in that.
I don't think it helped him out. The team did not respond like
that. What is wrong with Cleveland? What happened to him?
Well, the Knicks are good.
I know the Knicks are playing really well. Their top five guys are all playing well.
Didn't they get blown out? It wasn't like they got blown out all four games.
No,
they game didn't. 1 and 4. They
just blew a 22-point lead in the fourth quarter. That's a problem.
That's a problem.
That's a psychological problem.
Yes,
and I think Harden can be a problem, James. He's never won a playoff game.
Yeah, he has.
Not in a playoff series. Is that right?
No, he won the previous.
Yeah,
series
what am
to
I
get
talking
there.
About? What am I talking? What stat?
Here's James Harden, by the way, after the game.
What stat am I talking about?
He's never made it to the. Well, he's made a finals before because he was
he's never
OKC.
Won a champion.
Yeah, he was with OKC when they lost to the Heat.
But he's never won a championship.
Yeah, here's James Harden.
That's what it is.
After getting swept about his team.
Yeah, in this series, how much better, if they're better, are the Knicks than you guys?
I mean, I can't even answer that question, honestly. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, it was 4-0, but I don't think we had a chance as far as our best shot, you know, from a standpoint of the circumstances. You know, obviously they dominated us 4-0, but yeah, I don't know if I can necessarily answer that question. Just because genuinely I do feel like we are the better team. But, you know, series-wise, you know, it didn't show it. So, it's a tough question to answer.
Better team lost 4 games to none. James.
I'm sorry, botched that stat. He's never won a championship. Karl Malone never won a championship. I think they've played the most playoff games without a championship.
That might be it.
Yeah. Karl Malone, the beard. As you know, I was a beard fan. But the beard is probably, it's time. It might be time.
The beard. Played at Devaney Center here in Lincoln and lost to Alex Marge. I was at that game. Arizona State, James Harden.
They play 1-on-1?
No, it was a game. And Bill Raftery was on the call for this. I was in the stands. Nebraska beat Arizona State, and Harden had like 19 points. They beat him. He's been in Lincoln before PBA.
And I don't think he was bearded, was he?
Might have been a small beard back then. it wasn't the beard we know now.
It wasn't the glorious beard of today.
No. When we come back, let's give some more continued praise to Jeep Wade, getting it done in recruiting.
Jeep.
Next on Early Break of the Ticket.